So, Scott, hi. Can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yes, hello. I'm a dual trainee in anaesthetics and intensive care. I live and work in Bristol in the southwest of England, and I've just completed subspecialty training in pre-hospital emergency medicine, or FEM as we call it, with Great Western Air Ambulance. I'm also chairman of the FEM Trainees Association, and have a pretty busy life outside with a young family.
Yes, I bet you do. And on top of all that, you recently sat the fellowship in immediate medical care up in Edinburgh. How did that go?
It went very well, thank you. I fortunately passed, so it's all gone well.
Excellent. Brilliant. Great news. Now, not many people have sat the fellowship exam, and I was hoping you'd be able to give us some details about how you found it. And maybe you could start off by telling us which aspects of the exam you found to be most challenging.
You're absolutely right. It hasn't been sat by many people so far, and I think the challenges that I identified were firstly the breadth of the curriculum. If you look at the pre-hospital emergency medicine curriculum that's available online, you'll see that it spans a huge number of pages and a huge number of curriculum elements. So knowing where to start with that and how to cover it all is certainly probably the biggest challenge. We solved that by getting together as a group, and consult and sort of talking about how we might cover the difficult elements, but also how to cover the breadth of the curriculum. And that worked for us as a group of FEM trainees, to ensure that we'd address the things that we thought might come up. I think the other thing is that the written aspects of the exam are definitely more of a challenge, and actually, certainly for me, more stressful than the practical elements. The practical elements are something that, if you're working as a pre-hospital critical care doctor, you do most days, or certainly simulate, whereas the written elements are elements of the curriculum that you may not cover very frequently, and so are more difficult to ensure that you've got adequate knowledge.
Were there any bits of the exam that caught you by surprise?
Yes, I think there were. Whilst I'd prepared pretty well, I thought, and covered the curriculum in some depth, there were definitely areas that I'd underestimated. There are certain areas of the curriculum that are perhaps more esoteric. So these cover things like risk management or organisations that govern things like equipment. So, particular equipment that we use in the pre-hospital arena. And also things like high performing organisations and elements of human factors and crew resource management. And whilst a lot of us in our in-hospital practice and our pre-hospital practice have come across those areas, it was difficult at the time of revision to work out how to revise those things, and I definitely underestimated those, I think.
Thank you. And both the diploma and the fellowship, they use what are called OSPEs, objective structured practical examinations. And I wonder if they turned out to be as you imagined they would be.
I think they did. I sat the Diploma in Immediate Care, or the National Summative Assessment number 1 for FEM trainees in January of 2015. So I had a pretty good idea of what to expect, in terms of the layout of the room that they use at the Royal College of Surgeons in Edinburgh. I also had a pretty good idea of what the examiners would be like. And in my specialty, in anaesthesia, we sit in an OSCE, in our primary anaesthetic exam. So I sort of had some reasonable preparation for that, I think.
Sorry, go on,
I was going to say, so just some thoughts really regarding the OSCE. I think the most important thing is that when you haven't sat an exam like this before, it's pretty daunting. You don't really know what to expect. And I know that we've hopefully taken some photos, and can sort of show people what an OSPE might look like. But I think my overwhelming thoughts are that it's very well organised. And even if you've never seen the room before, it is an easy to understand system and structure as to where you need to be, when you need to be where, and how the exam progresses, and that's all briefed before you start. The timekeeping once the exam starts is absolutely excellent, and it's a really robust way of ensuring that the exam's fair. The examiners themselves were mostly terribly friendly, to be honest, and they can't help you in any way, obviously, because of the structure of the exam, and they obviously have to be professional. But they were really pleasant. Most of them smiled and sort of exchanged pleasantries, and that made things a lot easier as a candidate. And I think probably most importantly, from an examiner's point of view, I got the feeling that they really wanted you as a candidate to do the best that you possibly could. And rather than trying to find fault and fail you, they really wanted to bring the best out of you. In terms of content, I thought the content of both the diploma and the fellowship for the practical exams was very reasonable indeed. And I thought the overall exam, the practical exam in both, was extremely fair. From the fellowship point of view, I thought that the level that they expect you to work at is that of a pre-hospital emergency medicine consultant, and that mirrored my expectations of the training that I'd had during my FEM year, and the level that I thought I was able to practice at.
Great. Okay, thanks, Scott. Now, some of the OSPEs, they use tablets to simulate monitors. How did you find that?
I thought it worked very well, Alistair. Sometimes people get pretty worried or sort of stressed about the fact that they're using a monitor in a simulation that's not quite what they're used to. So it's not a LifePak or a Zoll or whatever they use in their service. And to a degree, you have to just work with that and deal with it. And it's that's a little bit like any type of simulation that we do in hospital. But equally, you can arrive somewhere in your normal job and not be totally familiar with the monitors when you get there. So I think we're all used to slight unfamiliarity as practitioners. But importantly, these tablets give you the same information in that you would normally be used to with your monitor, whatever that is that you use in your service. And it just displays it subtly differently, but it's really easy to understand. I've used iPads and SimMon and other programs before, in both in terms of assessment and also running simulations myself. So I was relatively familiar with that technology and also with the program. And I found it really easy to understand as a candidate. I think it's relatively infallible. It's really repeatable, and it's being used elsewhere. So we use it in our unit for our daily simulations. The FEM in National Induction course in Moreton and the Marsh used it widely this year in August. So I think it's something that most trainees will now have come across, and a lot of other practitioners will have come across prior to the exam.
Great. Okay, thank you. So you've been successful, and that's brilliant. What sort of advice would you give to other candidates that are soon to sit the fellowship in immediate medical care?
I think the way that I'd approach this question is really by looking at some of the things that I'd tell myself or hope that I would tell myself if I was doing it again. And they're also some of the things that I wanted to know, but no one could tell me at the time because this exam is so new. So firstly, I think the most important thing is don't underestimate this exam. The fellowship is supposed to be difficult. It really does cover the entirety of the pre-hospital emergency medicine curriculum, and it's looking to assess your practice as an independent level 7, level 8 faculty of pre-hospital care practitioner. So you should be able to conduct pre-hospital emergency anaesthesia independently. You should be able to give advice over the phone, to make decisions regarding triage, to make decisions regarding treatment, and be able to limit care appropriately. And none of these things, I think, should be unfamiliar or particularly challenging to you as a practitioner. The second thing is that in order to adequately cover the exam and to be prepared, I think you should speak to someone who has done the exam before. There are an increasing number of candidates who have now sat the new fellowship, and they'll be able to give you some additional pointers and some idea of the past topics and questions that have come up. Thirdly, I think the best type of preparation is one where you get together with other people who are going to sit the exam. It means you can bounce ideas off people. As I said earlier, we got together as a group of 5 FEM trainees, and we had a Dropbox that we shared information through and shared our the documents that we found. And I think that's really useful because different people will have different takes on things, but they'll also have access to trainers in different ways in their regions. Fourthly, I think there are lots of ways of approaching those different areas of the curriculum, and getting the depth of knowledge right is incredibly difficult. We managed this, I suppose, through trial and error. And as I mentioned earlier, there were certainly elements of the curriculum that we underestimated, but most of it we got pretty well there. And I think, as I said at the beginning of this question, the the level that you're being examined at is that of an independent practitioner. So you need to know things to reasonable depth. You need to understand why we do certain things in certain ways. You need to understand the evidence behind interventions, and also know to a good degree things like consensus statements and so on. Fifthly, I think the basis of revision for this exam predominantly is to read a lot. So you need all the basic knowledge that you require for the diploma in immediate care or national summative assessment number one. But you also, as I said earlier, you need to know the consensus documents. You need to know evidence for pre-hospital doctors, for pre-hospital emergency medicine as a whole, for interventions. You need to have an idea of the guidelines that are relevant to things, but also an idea of organisations that regulate us as practitioners and our systems that we work in. And it's also worth having an idea of things like the ideal features of the kind of organisations that you work in, or indeed that you could be setting up in the future. So this is an exam that not just tests you, but also prepares you for future practice. And finally, I would strongly recommend that you practice the practical elements. So get some practice of the OSPI. It gives you a good idea of timing of stations, and you could practice, for instance, teaching a simple skill or applying a particular skill. And the long scenarios, which you're relatively used to if you're a FEM trainee, but if you're not a FEM trainee or you haven't done a significant amount of simulation, I think are worth practicing purely so that you're used to other people watching you and you're used to verbalising the interventions that you make. So they're my top tips, I think, for sitting the FIMC and hopefully being successful.
Yes, great tips. Thank you very much for those. Did you find the preparation for the diploma and the fellowship was different?
Yeah, definitely. I have to say that the way I tell people now to look at the diploma is really that it assesses you at a level of a good paramedic. So you should be able to do things that a good paramedic can do and have all the supporting knowledge, reasoning and understanding that they do. And you should be able to do all of that against the clock. And I don't think that's unrealistic, because we frequently come across situations that are time pressured. The fellowship, I think, is quite different to that. So whilst the structure is relatively similar, the level that you're being assessed at, as I said earlier, is that of an independent practitioner. So think about the consultants that work in your pre-hospital care service, or a very experienced critical care paramedic who works in your service. This is the kind of level that I think the exam is targeting, and that there's a level you're being assessed at. And to be honest, this should mirror your working practice. If you've not got experience in these type of roles, then I would argue you're probably not suitable for this exam, or not at the stage of sitting that exam. Finally, I did a lot more reading around things for the fellowship. It's not just about reading a textbook and practicing the skills as I did for the diploma, but you need to know the theory behind things and the evidence behind things. So I think it is deeper knowledge, it's broader knowledge, and it's great application of skills and the reasoning behind those things.
Lovely, thank you. How about getting up to Edinburgh and arranging accommodation? Any tips for the candidates there?
Yeah, definitely. Edinburgh is a beautiful city, and I have to say, every time I go up and spend time there, I wish I could stay longer. It's really easy to get to. It's pretty cheap to fly to or get a train to. And certainly the group of us who were up there in January and again in July, the vast majority got up there by public transport and found it no problem at all. Nicholson Street, where the college is really not very far away from the centre of Edinburgh. So accommodation is plentiful. I'd certainly recommend booking accommodation as soon as you've got the confirmation of your exam date and time. You usually receive this around 6 weeks beforehand, but check the information on the college website, because this will give you more information. I've stayed in a couple of different places. So there's a hotel called Ten Hill Place, which is owned by the Royal College of Surgeons of Edinburgh, which is literally around the corner. Beautiful hotel, relatively expensive, but is very nice. It's also the hotel that the examiners stay in, so you may want to stay elsewhere just purely so you're not sort of immersed in the examiners, and also seeing people that you're that may be your supervisors and will be examining you. I've also stayed in the Premier Inn, which is just down the road, so it's sort of 3-4 minutes walk down the road. And there are similar hotels within walking distance, and sort of 10 or 15 minutes walking distance. My top tip here is make life easy for yourself. If you've not gone away and stayed anywhere for an exam before, you don't want to make life complicated. So you want somewhere that's comfortable, that's quiet, that's warm, gives you some breakfast, but also that you can get from your hotel to the Royal College without having to get on any public transport, without having to worry about things. So stay relatively close by. Another top tip, you must arrive the night before unless you live in the sort of close proximity to Edinburgh. Your exam registration for the written part of your exam will start around 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning. You need to be well rested before this. So I think unless you live very close, I would definitely get there the night before. And finally, there are loads of places to eat and drink around. It might sound strange, but I'd say enjoy yourself as much as you can. You'll spend a lot of time over the sort of 36 hours of the exam days with the candidates that you're sitting the exam with. And certainly if it's anything like us, you'll know quite a lot of them because they're fellow trainees or fellow practitioners that you've seen in other places before. So at the end of day one, don't go back to your hotel and just revise solidly until day two. You need a bit of a break. Get out there. The practicals, I think, are really hard work mentally, and you need a rest. So go and enjoy a bit of Edinburgh. Go and have a drink and something to eat and relax a little bit.
Well, that obviously worked for you, Scott. That's great. Thank you for all that great advice. And congratulations again on passing the fellowship. Well done.
Thank you very much.